Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to the Iron Brew Podcast. Brad Mell, Matt Blanchard, and Matt Ellis. We're going to start this one with a bit of a somber tone. Obviously, I'm sure all Scunthorpe fans will have seen the news put out by the club today. Obviously, the reason why Neil Cox was not at the Exeter game was that his father was taken ill and has since passed away over the weekend. So, obviously, extremely sad news. And I know I speak for the three of us, and I'm sure I speak for all Scunthorpe United fans when we pass on our sincere, heartfelt condolences at this very difficult time. Right, shall we move to the club? I think let's get into the week just gone. Obviously, the last podcast we did was after the Tranmere game, so we got that win. That was great. We've played two games since then, unfortunately losing both of them, Northampton and obviously more recently Exeter. I think before we get into the games, let's start with something which we recorded the last one on deadline day, didn't we, if you remember. Wood was in at this point. He'd come in about the time we were recording. We were saying that we didn't expect anything else on that day. Matt, you made some sort of comment about, you know, that, you know, we always say stuff like this and then 20 minutes later the club go and sign somebody. What do you know? That did happen. Hayden Hackney's been brought in from Middlesbrough, a midfielder. I think he's here just till January. Let's start with these loan players, because obviously they've started both games, haven't they? And we were winning, you know, we beat Tranmere. So to change that team is questionable, I think. Maybe let's go with that. Let's start with those two loan players.
Yeah, I think it was a very big call to do that at Northampton. You know, they've not played any football, really. I know they played some under 23 games, I guess, but no kind of first team football. So to throw them in, I think it was, yeah, it was a very big call. And I thought Northampton would look quite good. I think he kept the ball well and kind of showed a good range of passing, I thought, at times, and tried to be a little bit creative when he got on the ball. But I would say Hackney was pretty much anonymous for that game. And I'd also say that for Saturday just gone as well. I don't think he had a very good game at all, which is, you know, it's a shame. I think it's difficult for them coming into the side. You know, two young lads, I can completely understand that. But I think the issue I have really with it is that we've got two players sat on the bench at the weekend, obviously Beeston, who I kind of probably regard as our best player, if not, you know, if not the best, he's certainly up there. And, you know, we've been able to rely on him in, well, many times really over the past couple of seasons for goals and, you know.
Well, even this season as well, obviously popped up with Walsall, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly. And I think the goals he obviously popped up with last season as well probably made the difference, really. You know, at times, I think it was Colchester goal and there's a couple of others as well where he's nicked one and we've managed to get something from the game. And I think that's, you know, you can kind of rely on him for that. I think he's good for quite a few goals over the course of the season. But yeah, I just think to leave him out, I think it was a really poor decision. And also Tom Pugh, I think he's really, for me, this season, I know he's made a couple of mistakes here and there, which, you know, we do expect young player coming through, but I think he's been one of our most consistent players. And I think even the stats back that up. You know, I think there was a stat on Twitter a couple of days ago, and it was looking at kind of under 23 players, under 21 players that have come through. And I think he was, what was he, in the top three or second in the league for the most tackles or something like that, winning the most tackles. And, you know, we've seen that this season. I think he's been really important, whether it's been at right back or whether it's been in central midfield, kind of breaking up the play and getting stuck in. I think that's what we've really missed these past two games in the central midfield. And I think he can, you know, I think he can be really annoyed actually with the decision, because I think you know, he's done more than enough. And for me, you're looking around the squad who you can drop, and you know, it wouldn't be those two for me. I think they've more than done enough in the games we've seen. And obviously Beeston, we know what he can do when he's given the opportunity week in, week out. So yeah, it's a bit of a strange one. And it's a bit unfair for the two lads coming in as well. I think Woods obviously done okay in the game at Northampton. You know, with 10 men for large parts of that game, I thought he looked quite good, to be fair. So I think, you know, they both probably need a bit more time. But it just doesn't sit right the way that it's been handled, really. Because I think, obviously, we mentioned when Wood came in, we were obviously questioning at the time whether we needed another central midfielder. I think at the end of the last podcast, and then obviously we go and sign Hackney as well. And I just think we're a little bit overloaded in that area, and a lot's been made of the team spirit and how it's been completely different to last season. And I just see maybe a little bit of that. You know, I think it might disrupt it a little bit, and I think that's the worry. You know, you've got a bigger squad now that you can choose from, and unfortunately, people are going to be left out. People are going to be unhappy. And if the results are going against you as well, then I think that bad feeling might kind of crop up again and kind of rear its head. And we just can't afford that at the moment. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But for me, I think I said it at the time, we didn't need another two central midfielders. I still kind of stand by that. I think we were probably better looking elsewhere. I know we did try and get a striker in on deadline day that fell through. I think, did he fail a medical or something like that? Which, you know, shows the club were trying. But for me, I don't know. I don't think we need another body in there. We'll just see how it goes over the next few weeks.
I'll just bring up this point then, actually, about the loan signings. Obviously, now I've got absolutely no idea about, you know, anything of these deals or the ins and outs and what have you. But I've seen it bandied about on Twitter. I don't know if it's just pure speculation or if there's something to it. The fact that, you know, both of these loan players have come in, as you said, we've changed a winning team. We've got players that you'd think on paper would start, you know, in your first 11 around Pugh, Beeston. The fact that both of them have come in, they've started both of the games as well, not just one of them. I've seen a lot of people suggest that it might be something like that it's in the contracts that they've got to play. Do you think there's anything like that going on?
Well, I actually thought that it was going to be either that or a very bad decision by the manager to change a winning team. So I think it's probably going to be one or the other. But then again, obviously, the manager would have known that the terms under the loan contract that these players would have to play a certain amount of games when they've been brought in, which is a little bit concerning, I suppose, really, because they are very, you know, as players inexperienced, and as we said, you know, we've already got Pugh here, who's probably of you know, similar age and a kind of level of experience, who has, you know, done really well actually this season, as we've said. So it looks like a little bit of an unfortunate decision, and kind of even more so due to the fact that now we do seem to be pretty overloaded in midfield when we really were crying out for a striker, given the current quality of the strikers we've got at the club at the minute. So it may be a little bit disappointing, you know, from kind of a fan's perspective, really.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know, obviously, we're just speculating, but it's certainly not unheard of. You know, I mean, you've heard of these things in the past, and I think even Cox was saying that clubs have kind of said, yes, you can have this player, but if you don't play him, then, you know, we want more money for him and things like that. You know, I think it's there's all sorts that go on in these sorts of deals. But you're hoping that we've not agreed to something like that, because, you know, it's not great for sort of morale of the group, I don't think. And I'd be disappointed if that was the case. But yeah, you know, who knows? I mean, if it continues, for me, obviously Hackney, as yet, not really shown anything in the two games that he's kind of up to this standard. I'm not saying he won't be, and not saying he won't be a decent player for us. Who knows? You know, we've not really seen enough of him. But for me, as I've said, there's other players that are kind of deserving of that spot at the moment. And I think it's very easy after kind of a game to look back and say, you know, with hindsight, maybe those particular players shouldn't have played. But I just don't think we'd have lost 4-0 if some of those players from the Tranmere game were playing at the weekend. You know, it's again, we're just kind of speculating, but I just don't see it. But yeah, it's one of those. It'll be interesting. I think it'll become more evident in the next few weeks. Obviously, if they're keeping the place when it's not particularly warranted, then I think even more questions will be asked. But for now, I mean, I hope that's not the case, and you know, I'm sure it won't be, but you know, you never know.
Just before we go to the game then, just briefly, there was a couple of exits this week. Jessup's gone to Gainsborough on loan for a month. Shrimpton's gone to Grantham till January on loan. And obviously, Dunvor Turan, I think, is probably the most significant of this. Obviously, he's been absent from the squad for the whole season. He's gone to Stockport on a month's loan as well. Maybe anything on those players?
Yeah, I mean, again, with Jessup, obviously, he's been on the fringes, really, of the first team. Whether Gainsborough is the right level for him, you know, if we see him as kind of a player that can, you know, fill in for the first team in the near future, I'm not sure whether that's sort of the right level to be aiming him at. But again, I mean, I did see a good comment on Twitter, and at the end of the day, if someone from a higher level wanted him, then I think the club would have probably tried to get him there. So I think it's just a case of getting him games, getting him match fit, and seeing what he can do. But I'm not sure at the moment with Jessup. I think of all the kind of young lads that have kind of broken through this season and had a little bit of game time, I think he's the one I'm least impressed with, really, so far. I know it's been difficult because, you know, even some of the you know, more experienced strikers have found it difficult up there because of, you know, lack of service and things like that. And, you know, we saw that last season as well. So, you know, it's a bit early to kind of write him off. But I think, it'd be interesting to see how he does at Gainsborough, because he should technically, you know, if we're hoping to play him in League Two in the near future, he should be okay at that level. Same with Shrimpton as well. Obviously, he's not really appeared for the first team apart from in the paint trophy. You've not really seen too much of him either. But obviously, again, another local lad. And I think, again, Grantham with Carlton Palmer, that might be quite interesting for him, you know, as someone to learn from as manager there. So that'd be a good move for him, I think, see how he does. And Turan, you know, Stockport are struggling, but they obviously spent a lot of money over the past couple of seasons. They obviously see something in him, either that or he's got, you know, a brilliant agent in Ascodders who's got him a different move. But I think it'll be interesting to see how he does. It looks like he's going to get game time, because I think Quigley's injured at Stockport. So, he's going to get a chance. And I wish him well, really, because I think he's, for whatever reason, he's been frozen out. I think he'll want to go there and prove himself. And, you know, it'd be interesting if he does. I think if he starts scoring goals and starts playing well, then questions will be answered as to why he's been kind of frozen out, even when we've been desperate. Obviously, his face doesn't fit and something's gone on behind the scenes that we don't know about. But see how he does. I think it's probably the last we've seen of him here. But if he starts scoring goals there, then questions will be raised again.
Well, I think you're right. And Matt, you said it earlier on, didn't you? No, we are obviously still struggling for strikers. I mean, at the minute, we're basically relying on Scrimshaw, aren't we? And we've only really seen him twice. He looks decent enough so far. But, you know, it's a lot on him, really, isn't it? You've got, well, I'm sure we'll talk about it when we come to Exeter. But there's conversations about O'Neill to be had. I mean, he's not at the level for me. Jarvis, again, I think we'll mention him. But the comment here from friend of the podcast, actually, Mr. Mick, he said that he was talking to Loft recently, and he said he should be able to wear a mask within, you know, 2 or 3 weeks. So potentially he's coming back. But, you know, until then, and even then, really, we're still quite short for strikers, aren't we?
Yeah, I think so. We are, and it's kind of that sort of position that we were, you know, we've been concerned about for a while in the close season and kind of early days of this season. I think that it also kind of raises more questions as to why we brought two more midfielders in a kind of an area that's already relatively overloaded, in comparison to the forward line, really. And of course, you know, Hallam's gone AWOL again, hasn't he? You know, he's twisted his sock or whatever he's done this season, and he's clearly not fit again. But obviously the club knew before the season started that he would always be kind of maybe on the fringes because of his injury record, and unfortunately again that's proven to be the case. And at the same time, as you know, we know Turan's out on loan, and we kind of really in a way sort of pinned our hopes on Scrimshaw, who's a little bit of an unknown entity. Relatively limited football league experience, you know. However, he did score in his debut, and he does look really, really handy, and he is the kind of striker that we really do need. But just having him there, or bringing him in the latter stages of the kind of transfer window, really shows kind of maybe a lack of judgment, or a kind of a lack of foresight from the club, really, which is a little bit disappointing, really, because we knew that's where we're going to struggle. We don't really know if Jarvis is going to do it. You know, it's unfortunate that Loft's injured, but we knew Loft was injured before, well before the end of the transfer window. So surely we should have been thinking about bringing another striker in. As you know, as we just said, hopefully he'll be back in the next few weeks. And if it, as we know, it is just a facial injury, then that, you know, you would like to think that his fitness won't be an issue. So he should be able to come straight back into the side because he had a full pre-season. And he generally looks like a fit lad anyway, doesn't he? He lasts the 90 minutes and he's always chasing balls down as well. So hopefully that's not going to be an issue, but it'd be nice to see him and Scrimshaw together. But, you know, it is very concerning. And it is one of the things that we said at the start of the season, where are the goals going to come from? given the kind of quality of players that we lost, who would either score goals or create goals, you know, including, you know, Gilliard, Issa and Kev. And we never really, you know, on the face of it, replace them. So we'll have to see how we get on. But it did seem to be a little bit of a strange one that the club didn't bring a striker in. And maybe indeed they did try really hard. And the guy that we're supposed to bring in was just unfortunate to fail a medical. So we don't really know, do we, what's been going on behind the scenes. but it's something that we've kind of looked a little bit goal shy so far this season. So it's just it is a good job that the defence, sort of up until the game against Exeter, has looked relatively solid.
Yeah, I think you make some good points on Scrimshaw, but I mean, you've got to look at it. If we play to his strengths, I think he could be a decent player. Obviously, at the weekend, I mean, he's probably the smallest guy on the pitch, and lumping balls forward, he's just not going to, we're not going to get anything from him. And, you know, we've got to play someone alongside him, either Jarvis and obviously Loft when he comes back in. At the weekend, I mean, he got no service whatsoever. He's never going to do anything against kind of 6'2", 6'3" defenders. So yeah, I think he's definitely one. Looks like he's got something, but unless we play to his strengths, he's just going to be wasted. And that's what we've really got to do in the next few games, because I think you look at the strikers. Obviously, Jarvis's goal record's not great. He's done okay since he's come back in. Obviously, had a decent game against Sutton. I just think we need to maybe get some a bit more service to him in the right areas as well, and not just lumping the ball forward.
Right, let's turn our attention to the matches then. Let's briefly do Northampton, not in any great detail, because I think the significant thing was obviously that the lone players were starting. We do lose 2-0. Obviously, the key moment in that game is that Onorise gets sent off, doesn't he? I mean, no real complaints with that one.
No, that was it was definitely a red card, and it was just poor defensively, really. I think Davis really struggled against Northampton. I think Rowe did as well at times, especially in the second half. And that was just, again, it was just poor defending, kind of, yeah, misjudged the flight, really. I don't know if they misjudged the flight, didn't realise where it was going. And I think Manny, you know, we've said that about him, actually, and he's probably got a couple of those in his locker a season, you know, a little bit clumsy. I think he probably thought he had to do it. And you obviously bring the lad down. But yeah, disappointing. I think it put us on the back foot, really, because I didn't think Northampton were great, but I think it's very difficult. They were putting us under a lot of pressure, and I think eventually the pressure told in the end, which was a shame, because I think with 11 men, we could have probably seen that out. I think we might have got a draw. So yeah, it was disappointing. Obviously, it left us a bit short for the weekend. Obviously, with a couple of injury scares as well. Obviously, everyone came through it, Taft and Davis. But yeah, it could have left us really short, really. So it was it was just one of those. I think you're going to get a few of those a season from different players, and you know, unfortunately, it's probably cost us the game. Probably cost us at least a point, really.
Well, I mean, this is it. I mean, we've had a lot of questions about this as well. When you're considering Exeter, we've already said on this one that we've been relatively solid at the back this season. You know, it seems to be going all right. Manny gets sent off. We've said previously that, you know, one injury or a red card like that, we are short. You saw that at Exeter. As you said, Matt Davis had that head injury, didn't he? Taff went down for a time. And you're thinking mid-game, there's nobody really to bring on in that position. But from going from being relatively okay at the back, your players getting sent off, and then you're losing 4-0 the next week. Is it too simplistic just to say that that's down to the absence of Manny? I mean, what's going on? Because obviously he must have, you know, quite a big presence in that defence. Did you think his absence at the weekend was part of the reason why not only that we lost, but that we lost so heavily?
it's difficult to say, isn't it? Because I think that there's probably quite a lot to it. And I can imagine that kind of Cox's sort of situation has had an impact on the team, because you would think that the team would know what's going on in that respect. And but then of course you've got that kind of change from a winning team against Tranmere, where we've kind of changed like two players in the core midfield area, bringing the loans in, and maybe just a little bit of disruption in that, because obviously, you know, deadline day is always kind of disrupted, and if you're going to bring a couple of players in and really kind of change a winning team and things like that, it's all these things are going to have an effect. And then obviously, as you said, you know, Manny's taken out, and he's kind of it'll be one of the more influential players at the club, really, because he's a big presence, isn't he? And he's kind of he's very vocal on the pitch and things like that, and you know, he's a big player for the team, and when he does play and when he has a good game, he's a very, very good defender at this level. So you know, kind of all those things combined, you would expect to kind of have a detrimental effect on the result. And it's just unfortunate that we got absolutely hammered by Exeter. So, you know, I think that probably a combination of those things, really. But hopefully, the most, obviously, as always, the most important thing is that the kind of team and the club can regroup from what's obviously been kind of a difficult week for them, you know, on the pitch and behind the scenes.
Right, let's turn to the Exeter game then. So, obviously, most recent, as you said there, Matt, obviously, there's been a lot of disruption, you know, this week in the team, off the field as well. It wasn't good though, was it? I mean, it really wasn't. And I think first half maybe was all right. You know, I think we were okay. And I think Lillis said words to this effect in his interview afterwards. But I mean, it just fell apart second half, didn't it? I think there was some substitutions that I think were quite questionable. I think they might have hindered us quite a bit, actually. Some of the goals that we gave away were just... It was almost back to the things we were seeing like last season, the season before, you know, those types of errors. I think generally it just looked very disorganised. I mean, I know Exeter traditionally are quite a decent team. I thought they were good. I do think they were good, but I'm not 100% sure that, you know, they were anything amazing.
No, you know, I think we made it too easy for them and too easy for their better players. Obviously, Jay, we know that he's a decent player. He scored against us last season. And, you know, he's got two again. And, just players switching off, really, not kind of tracking runners. I think the midfield were kind of guilty of that on a number of occasions. I think Millen was guilty of that in the second half, and obviously got beaten for one of the goals really easily. So yeah, I think there was a few factors really in there. But yeah, for me, first half, I think the key thing was we just didn't seem to have that midfield presence. No one really to put a tackle in there, and they were winning it in midfield more often than not. And I think that kind of put us on the back foot to start with. Also, you know, the ball's going straight back when we're kind of getting it forward. It's going straight back because there's just no one to hold it up. Obviously, Scrimshaw tried his best, but he's not going to do a lot as we've said against big defenders. Need some help up there, and it's just coming back. And I think when you lose the midfield battle against players like that, you know, we're going to be on the back foot, because you know Jay's got real quality at this level, and he's punished us again. Two kind of, I think his first one, whether he touched it or not, I don't know. Obviously, it's a decent ball into the box, but I think Davis is probably the nearest man to him, and I can't really decide whether it's a really good ball in or whether Davis could have been a little bit tighter. Not sure on that one. And again, I think Watson, there's not a lot he could do. Obviously, he can't really come for that. It's too far for him to come for. And yeah, it's in the end, he's maybe got a little flick on it, and then it's gone in. And yeah, I think that really kind of did put us on the back foot. And when they get the second just after half time, I think that's obviously the worst time to concede. And no, I didn't actually see it at the time. I was still in the bar. And you know, you just don't expect it. You need to keep it tight, you know, for 5 minutes, and then have a go and to concede straight away in the manner we did as well, because it's just such a poor goal. And I think you're right. Just basically last season all over again. I think you could go back to any of those games last season where we conceded 3, 4, 5, and it was a similar kind of goal, wasn't it? And they all were, really. Let's be honest. The two that followed that as well were really poor. And yeah, it was just poor all round. And I think obviously Matt mentioned sort of what what we miss when Manny's not on the pitch, and I think that's right. I think we saw that as well. I think defensively at times we're all over the place, and I know it's difficult when the midfielder just not tracking runners and things like that, and not getting a foot in and getting stuck in. But I think we've got to be better defensively as well, and balls into the box. We just weren't really defending them as well as we have done. And it's disappointing because I think we'd all kind of agreed that we were looking really good defensively, and then you know something like that happens and we're torn apart, and then you're questioning things again. So I think you know we've got to get Manny back soon. Well, he's got to be in, hasn't he, at the weekend, only a one match ban, and we've kind of got to get that solid base again to work from, because I think that was really one of the only things we had going for us. We weren't taking that many chances. But you know, 2 weeks ago, you couldn't really see anyone turning us over by 3-4 goals. And unfortunately, that's what's happened. And I think Matt's right. It's got to we've got to kind of bounce back from that sooner rather than later. Because I think this time last season, we saw a few games kind of back to back where we conceded a lot of goals, and it just can't happen this season. I think we've got to kind of nip that in the bud and kind of get back to doing the basics right. And I think that kind of includes you know, the management, they've got to get some of the team selection right, because I just don't think they have in recent weeks.
Just on that first goal, actually, while you mention it, I do actually quite like the ball into the box, but it is everything you say about the midfield, you know, not sort of cutting it out. They have so much time, don't they? They're just sort of passing it about. They're really comfortable just outside, you know, our own box. That flick in, just briefly, any question about offside for that one? I know I sit not too far away from that, in line with it. I thought at the time it was on, but I know there was a lot of complaints sort of around me that people thought it was offside. My instinct was that it was on. I'm not 100% sure from the video, but what would you think of it?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, obviously from behind the goal, it's very, very difficult to see. But we've got got a mate who probably sits sort of in line with near where you sit, really, and he thought it was onside. So, you know, I think it's no real complaints with that one. I just think it was the way we dealt with the ball. I think obviously Davis had taken that bang on the head, misjudges the header or doesn't win that header. And then from there, it's just, as you say, too much time on the ball, really. They just were able to pass it around a little bit. And I think it is a good ball into the box. I think it's, you know, it's nicely weighted, and I suppose it's a good finish. But yeah, again, it was just that first ball, didn't really deal with it. Gave them too much time on the second ball, and they've punished us. And you expect, you know, they've got quality, and Jay, you know, he likes popping up in those little areas, and more often than not, he'll finish those off. And it's just disappointing that, given, it sounds as though we actually spent a day kind of preparing for one player, if you like, and what one player could do. You know, at the end of the day, it's Matt Jay is a good player at this level, but it's not Messi, you know, and we've spent a day kind of preparing for one player, and he scores two goals. And whether Perry was the right man to kind of be man-marking him throughout the game, you know, I don't think so. I think Perry's got a lot of qualities, you know, on the ball.
I think he struggled the weekend.
He did, yeah. I think he's got qualities. You know, I think once he's got the ball, I think he's okay. You know, he's quite good on the ball, and he can, you know, spray it about quite nicely. But, you know, he's not going to tackle. He's not going to get stuck in. I think we've seen that. I think we've seen that every game, really, that he's played this season. I think he's, you know, it's not his game. And I think we expected, or the management expected him to, or hoped that he would do a job that he wasn't particularly comfortable with. And again, it comes down to whether we've got other players that could have done that job any better. And I think you have, and you know, I don't want to keep making the point, really, but you look at the bench and you've got the two that's obviously dropped out. You know, they're both like a tackle, and they both get stuck in, and that's what we were missing, really. And I just think tactically, to put you know, a player that doesn't make a challenge on technically their best player just didn't really work, and it was a shame we kind of persisted with it, really, because I think it could have been kind of seen a lot earlier than it was. And I appreciate, obviously, the difficult circumstances on Saturday. But yeah, I think it was just sort of a poor decision. And to kind of leave it for as long as we did as well was, again, didn't really work. But yeah, that's my opinion.
Well, I think what proves the point, though, is, I mean, when they do make the subs and Beasting comes on, I know nobody really had an amazing game, but I thought Beasting was probably the best player from that match, really.
Yeah, I thought he did okay when he came on. And to be fair, I mean, one other player that I thought did okay was Bunn. I thought he tried to kind of make things happen. He looked decent on the ball. But again, he didn't really have anyone to pass to at times. There wasn't particularly much movement. And yeah, a lot of the times he kind of did the hard work and then and there was just no one there for him. And it's a shame, really, because I think technically he could be a good player for us if we use him the right way. Because he come back from injury and because he's one of the more experienced players, I think it looks like he's going to get the nod more often than not. And I haven't got a problem with that, really. But we've got to make sure that the rest of the kind of personnel around him, you know, the right players and, you know, the show for people and try and make things happen. Because I don't think we saw that. And it's just deflating, really, because I think up until the Northampton game, you know, we were all in agreement that we'd seen some decent stuff and there was sort of entertainment on offer, really, which we've not seen for a while. You know, the Tranmere game, I can't remember that you know, a game where we've created as many chances for a long time. And then I just feel we've kind of gone...
Sutton as well was one of those, really, wasn't it? You know, I know we conceded late on, but for a lot of the first half especially, we sort of ran that game.
Yeah, and we created chances, which is, you know, it's a lot better than what we were seeing last season. But I think the last two games, we've kind of reverted to that, really. I know the Northampton game's difficult when you go down to 10, so there's probably excuses there, which is fair enough. But yeah, I just think we were so poor at the weekend, we were just completely out of sorts, really. And, you know, I think that's... You look at that midfield and I don't know. I just think that's where we lost it. And you look at them on paper as well. Obviously, Hackney and Perry, I know we've got the five defenders, which, you know, we should be able to build a kind of solid base with that. But you look at those midfielders and can you see them really putting a foot in and getting stuck in? And I think that's ultimately where we lost the game. But yeah, there we go.
Well, I think shape definitely was, you know, a big problem. I mean, as I just said, you know, I sit close and stand. So second half, it was very, very evident that we just had no width, you know. I mean, Millen, we'll talk about Millen, I'm sure, you know, in relation to the fourth goal and the fact that, you know, he started and what have you. But I don't necessarily think he had a good game, but equally, to be fair to him, he'd get the ball, he'd carry it forward a bit, and there'd just be absolutely nobody on this right-hand side. And that was time and time again. And I think it became more evident when Rowe went off, actually, because, I mean, that it was an odd substitution, I think. You know, you brought O'Neill on, which it was strange anyway, but it just seemed that when he went, we had absolutely no width at all. You know, there was nobody out on this right-hand side. And whenever we did have the ball, there was just nowhere to go with it.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think Millen, you know, it's probably a debut to forget for him. But again, I think there's big question marks over his fitness for me. Sort of 10, 15 minutes in, he looked like he was struggling a little bit. And, you know, it's probably to be expected because he's injured in pre-season. I don't know how many games he played in pre-season, but I know the Lincoln game he was injured. Been out for a little while and obviously he's back in training, but, you know, was he the right option? I know we've got to get him match fit, and I know he's probably who Cox sees as maybe first choice right back. They've obviously gone out and brought him in the summer, but if he's not fit to play, if he's not 100% fit against a decent side like Exeter, for me, again, it's just the wrong decision to play him when we've got either Rowe. I know Rowe's obviously centre back. And we've stuck with a five at the back. But you had various options. I mean, Pugh could have dropped in there, or you could have gone to the four at the back. And, you know, there were different ways to kind of approach that if Millen wasn't quite fit. But, you know, I think he's managed to kind of get through it. Hopefully he'll, you know, get a bit of match fitness from that and we'll start seeing improvement. Because, as you said, yeah, I do agree at times there was just nothing on for him, and I think you're right, especially sort of second half, he was coming forward with it, looking to play a pass, and there was just no movement, no one ahead of him, and he was just giving the ball away or having to kind of knock it long for Scrimshaw, which we know doesn't work. So yeah, it was just disappointing, and you know, hopefully he can kind of sort of bounce back from that. And I think actually it's difficult to tell, because I think there was a couple of occasions in the second half where we thought he'd just given up at kind of tracking back, and the goal, I think the fourth goal, is it the fourth goal?
Yeah, it's obviously the fourth one.
He gets beaten really easily, really. He shouldn't be getting beaten like that, and he kind of just saunters back in. But is that because he's just absolutely knackered? I think that's there's probably an argument to say that that is the case. But again, we had other players on the bench to change it, and he's, I think he only made two subs. So yeah, I think you're right with the subs, didn't really work for me. And I think,
well, what about O'Neill? Let's mention that now, because that was one of the subs, wasn't it? You know, he came on. I mean, we've seen him a handful of times now, haven't we? I'm not seeing what the option is. I'm not seeing him ahead of Jarvis myself.
No, not at all. I mean, that was certainly what we've seen from Jarvis. He had a decent game against Tranmere. Obviously quiet against Northampton, but again, under difficult circumstances, down to 10. And I think, you know, he's shown enough in the game since he returned from injury to say that he should kind of get the nod over O'Neill. I've not seen O'Neill do anything. You know, to me, he doesn't particularly look like a footballer. And I think he was really poor when he came on. I think he spent most of the time kind of with his thumb up, kind of to players when the pass has kind of he's not been able to quite get on the end of it. And obviously he's still a young lad, he's still raw, and hopefully he'll improve. But I think for me it was just, again, you're right, I think Jarvis probably should have got the nod. And is he up to the standard, the League Two standard? I'm not sure, to be honest. I don't think he is from what I've seen. And then that's worrying, because obviously McMahon probably had a part to play in that, given that he was with him last season at Darlington, and Borough's youth setup, and Hackney as well, obviously, Borough's youth setup and known to McMahon, obviously, hopefully they both come good, and hopefully we'll see some improvement and they can start contributing a little bit more than they have done. But to me, I mean, it's a little bit worrying that if he has kind of suggested those two players, they've not really done anything yet to suggest that they're good enough. So, that's a little bit of a worry as well, to be honest.
I mean, yeah, obviously Exeter is, you know, it's 4-0, isn't it? Incredibly disappointing, I think. And as we've said, the manner that the goals went in, it just adds on to that. Maybe let's just turn to a couple of questions. One thing that's come up when we're talking about players and who's making the team and who isn't, O'Malley's been mentioned by a few people. Obviously, he had a great season, didn't he, for us last time. We all really like him. I wonder if maybe not as much has been made of him, because actually, to me, Thompson has been one of the better signings. You know, I think he looks really good. He seems to be making a bit of an impact in the team as well. And at the minute, I don't really see any real reason to drop him. But O'Malley, as far as we're aware, he's fit. You know, there's nothing wrong with him. He's not making the bench, is he? So, maybe something on that.
It does seem to be quite a strange one, really, especially when we're kind of lacking a little bit of width throughout the team, really, and kind of in one of the positions that you kind of thought that we might bolster would be kind of the wide positions. And you would think that either O'Malley or Thompson would probably be able to play on the left wing if they needed to. And the fact that O'Malley's not really even been on the bench for that option is a little bit concerning, really. But, you know, as we said earlier, I think Thompson has been really good. It's probably one of our better signings this season. He's not very capable. So he's given O'Malley some really good competition. But I think that the fact that he's not really been in the first team squad much this season maybe kind of suggests that something's not quite right behind the scenes. Is it fitness or something's happened? We don't really know, but it's very strange, and it's not really been explained either. And as I said, that kind of option that he would bring, even if it's him going at left back and Thompson pushing up into the left wing role, which I'm sure he'd be more than capable of doing, because he's looked okay going forward. kind of suggests that something's not quite right at the moment. And it is a little bit of a weird one, given that he was kind of, obviously last season, probably one of our best performers and a good advert for the now defunct under 23 squad, bringing young players through. And I know he's down from Huddersfield, but kind of that idea. So it's a little bit of a strange one, really, and I don't really know what's going on, to be honest. And it is a little bit concerning.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think he's kind of gone from one that Cox sort of singled out last season for praise at times. I think he said he really liked his attitude and, you know, the way he's kind of sort of in the dressing room, probably, you know, obviously still a young lad, but he's kind of one of the voices that kind of, he puts himself out there and you know, tells other players what he thinks at times. I think that was refreshing to hear. So, to kind of see him not involved at all in the squad, I just find it very odd. And you know, who knows, we might not find out why. But it does appear that he is fit, and it's just a selection thing. I know Fox said at Northampton that he just wanted some more attacking options on the bench, which, you know, that's fine. But I think O'Malley, we saw last season, he's good for an assist, and he kind of set up a few goals last season. You know, I agree with Matt. I think those two fullback are kind of interchangeable. One could play a little bit higher up if needed. And I think, yeah, he's definitely a good option to have on the bench. So it's, yeah, a bit of a strange one. We'll have to see how that kind of develops. But he was certainly, last season, he was certainly one of our better players. And, you know, I think everyone had sort of high hope for him, really. I think we saw enough in him last season to hope that he might be the one that, or one of the players that we can kind of develop and maybe sell on to a club at a higher level. But, you know, at the moment, it looks as though he's been frozen out. And maybe obviously if we pick up a few injuries, that might change. But at the moment, struggling to make the squad, I think it's very odd indeed, really.
Something else, just to add to that as well, I think that given the kind of the squad that Cox has put together, obviously we can see kind of that he's gone for a squad with players that have got real good kind of physical attributes. You know, you'd like to think that we would be scoring the odd goal from a set piece from a corner. And really, O'Malley is probably one of our best set piece takers. We saw him score a really good goal in pre-season. I think it was against Barton, I might be wrong, but you know, really good goal, and the fact that I think he was taking corners last season as well, kind of makes it even more strange, really, because you would think that he would be kind of in the first 11, you know, not just because he's a good player and because he was excellent last season, but also because he's got a really, really good left foot and he's got really good delivery, which we do seem to lack at times this season. I think we've seen Hippolyte try it and he's not the best corner taker. He floats it rather than whips it. So again, you know, kind of more evidence to suggest that something's maybe not quite right.
Yeah, to be honest, I would agree with Brad as well when you know, you mentioned about Thompson. I think he's probably deserved to keep his place. So it's not that, you know, I think that's a bad decision to have Thompson in the first team. I think he more than merited that so far. But I just think, yeah, the decision not to have him in the squad at all is an odd one. And it looks as though at the moment he's happy to kind of have Hippolyte, you know, if there is an injury. And Thompson has to go off. It looks at the moment he's happy for Hippolyte to kind of maybe fill in there at left back if needed. I think it's definitely one to keep an eye on. It's just it's a bit strange because obviously he's probably last season we were talking about a player that potentially could be kind of a saleable asset, and this season he's nowhere to be seen. That said, you know, when he has played this season, he's not necessarily played particularly well. So I can understand him again not playing and not being in that first team. But yeah, I think not being in the squad kind of raises a few questions for me.
Something else that's coming up, I think maybe it's partly because obviously it was a heavy defeat to Exeter. So you know, I guess emotions are running high with a defeat like that. We've talked a lot in terms of last season, how the attitude wasn't necessarily there, and that this season, I know Matt, you've said that's been one of the things you've been most impressed about this season, is that they do seem to be putting the, you know, the effort in and the performance, and you know, they're having a go, you know, right till the end. It's certainly in the sort of, I don't know, the games a month or so ago. there has been quite a handful of comments coming up to us for this game just gone that are questioning that. Was yesterday's result due to a lack of quality, effort, or both? Another one here, you know, not much has changed from last season and we had better players then. Complete lack of tactical knowledge in the backroom staff. The strange substitution left us with 4-4-2 with no wide players. And then this one, you know, we know we lack quality, so it's important that we put out a team that are well organised and work hard. Neither traits were on display yesterday. Yeah, so against Exeter, do you think it was a case of, you know, the effort wasn't there or wasn't there from some players? Or do you think it was just the sort of the system that led to that impression, if you like?
Yeah, difficult to say, really. I think it's a mixture of everything. Obviously, Millen clearly wasn't fit. So, you know, that's, again, playing him, you're down to 10 men really already because, you know, he's just not fit. I think you're right. I think the subs, obviously, we didn't use the third sub. Maybe they just thought the game had gone and it wasn't worth it. But I don't know. For me, I would have tried to get some fresh legs on and maybe Green or someone like that who just gives a bit more width. And yeah, I just think, as I've said, you know, we were overrun in the midfield. I think the team selection wasn't right, and I think it put us on the back foot, and I think it probably did that at Northampton as well. I know, you know, we had the early red card, but I don't think we started the game particularly that well. I think we were looking a bit shaky. So yeah, it's going to be sort of a big few weeks, really, because obviously we've got a really tough trip to Carlisle coming up, and I think there's some big decisions that need to be made. I think we were all kind of in agreement. The five at the back, we were fairly happy with. It was working, you know, with Manny in there with the two centre halves. I think it was working fairly well, and I just think, for whatever reason, you know, there's players not playing, there's obviously Manny suspension, these things, you know, it's kind of disorganised us a little bit. And I think that's been clear to see. I think we've been well organised, hard to beat in the first few games. And I think that proved, obviously, we lost the Swindon game, but then went on that run of, was it four, unbeaten? And, you know, I think it was clear to see why that was. I think we were very solid at the back, really organised. Everyone kind of knew the jobs. Everyone was putting a tackle in and trying the best. And I'm not sure. I think it's difficult to say whether they were kind of trying the best. You'd like to think so. I think it wasn't obvious that they weren't. But I just think it was a case of the wrong players played. And I think it just played into Exeter's hands. And obviously, they're a decent side at this level. And they've kind of punished us for it. But yeah, I think it's probably a little bit early to say that the players are not trying. You know, 2 weeks ago, I think we were really happy with what we'd seen so far. And I certainly was sort of enjoying it for the first time in a while, because I think we were seeing a lot of effort. And the Walsall game, for example, you know, I think everyone, when they saw the first team that night, were kind of writing us off. And they really put a shift in and kind of really ground those points out. And I think, you know, I think a lot of fans were kind of warming to that and warming to some of the players, actually. I think you know, even Hippolyte had had a couple of decent games. So I just hope that the players that have come in on loan, you don't want them to come in and kind of upset that team spirit. Because I think it was evident. I think it was clear to see that, you know, everyone was putting a real shift in and kind of trying the best and giving their all for the shirt, which is something we've not been able to say for a long time. So you just hope that, you know, and it's not their fault, by the way, but I just think the players that came in, given the amount of players in that kind of central midfield with Kenyon to come back as well, remember, you know, it's overloaded, and Cox has got a very difficult job on his hands to keep everyone happy, because, you know, if they're out the side, they're going to be asking questions, especially if the results don't go for us. And, you know, if I was Pugh and Beeston, I'd be asking that question this week, because obviously they've not played and we've been turned over 4-0, and obviously the defeat at Northampton wasn't great either. So yeah, I think it's there's definitely questions to be asked. I think it was a mixture of everything, but I think at the moment, you can't really question the application of the players. I think it was just we came up against a decent Exeter, and the management got it wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I think you make a lot of good points there. I mean, you know, it's important to remember that it's still very early in the season, isn't it? And like you say, we went on that bit where we were 4-0 unbeaten. So, you know, and we've seen a lot that we have liked this season. So yes, whilst it has been, you know, a very disappointing week, I think, you know, there's still every hope that, you know, you'll put it right next week. And maybe we can get like another couple of wins on the board, or, you know, certainly get back to drawing. You know, I think we're still incredibly early to be sort of making any sort of concrete assertions about the, you know, the way this season's going to go. I think that's probably just end there, actually, I think, for this one. We'll be back next week, look at the Carlisle game. Thank you very much for listening to this. Once again, passing on our sincere condolences to Neil Cox, his family, his friends. Obviously, a difficult time at the minute. Thank you very much for listening to this. We'll see you on the next one.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.